Yahtzee Girls know the product, then you're listening to the Dana Cortez Show.
Serious question for you, DJ Automatic, Anthony A, and everybody, honestly. Should your partner have control of your social media? That's the question. One of our listeners says that her man, after 6 months, he wants to make sure that she posts a picture of, you know, them as a couple now as her avatar. Her profile pic's got to be them.
Yo.
And he wants access, and he wants to be able to approve what she posts. Oh. I think that's a bit much.
He should just put a chain around her neck that says property of.
Yeesh, Automatic. I don't know about that.
But it's fair to voice something when you're not comfortable with it.
If
she's posting things that, you know, he feels like would lead other men on to think she's not in a relationship. And if that's not, you know, don't be doing a disservice to yourself by not being honest to yourself because you're afraid of how the other person's going to react.
I found a sex therapist that writes for the New York Times. Her name is Vanessa Marin. And she says there's several things when it comes to social media. When you're in a relationship, there's rules that you got to follow. Number one, you should definitely have access to each other's social media, but that doesn't mean control. Because access builds trust.
Yeah, of course.
Define access. Yeah, is that like passwords and stuff?
Yes,
oh,
Anthony.
Oh, no.
I mean, I don't have any problem. Dana can go through my phone right now. I don't got anything to hide.
But we're married. Anthony can't keep a relationship longer than he can keep ice cream in the summer.
I'm not for that because people go digging. How far back are you going to log into my stuff and go digging? I'm speaking for myself, too. If you give me your passwords, I want to know who's doing your DMs.
Why would you dig? I don't care about what happened before.
No, you would dig. Come on, dude.
Yeah. And then you start making up stories in your head. You're right. It's not a good thing.
The amount of prying that you do into my dating life, trust me, if somebody gave you their passwords and all their DMs, you would be digging, dude.
There's one more piece of advice that this sex therapist has before I share it with you. Let's take a call first. Hi, who's this?
This is Marie.
Okay, Marie. Go ahead, girl.
I think she should dump him because he's right. That is a sign of being controlling. 6 months is a long time, but in reality, it's not over a year. It's not a long time. They don't have kids together. I mean, that's a red flag. If he's trying to control that now, that'll, you know, show eventually what he's going to try controlling more in the future. And I think she would make a big mistake if she stood.
Dang, do you think it's worth breaking up over this early in a relationship?
No.
Somebody wants control of your social media, you better put my picture up there with you. It is kind of weird.
No, you're right. That is weird.
And from his side, too, if you got to ask for it, come on, dog. Like, that's already, you already got your answer. You know what I'm saying? She don't want to post you.
That can lead to a very dangerous situation in the long run. That happened to me on a Facebook account where an ex of mine deactivated my account or completely changed everything so I couldn't get back into it. Luckily, I kept that profile on public, so I was able to save every photo from there, over 1,000 photos, back to my phone.
Okay, so finally, this sex therapist says that social media can impact relationships negatively if you're spending more time looking at your screen than your partner.
Oh.
So not only do you not want to give complete control to your partner, you also don't want to ignore them. You can feel jealous of Instagram.
Yeah, you can.
You know what I'm saying?
Which makes me just on the team of, you don't have to demand. Like, what this guy's doing by demanding that she uploads a photo, that's not good. But don't be afraid to voice something. Like, if you're uncomfortable with something or a picture that somebody posts, like, say something.
Yeah. So in today's dating world, if somebody posts your picture, what does that mean to you?
Of like me and them together?
Yeah. Together.
What? Like, let's say you guys went out on like a couple dates and she posts your picture.
Oh, dude. On the story or on the timeline?
On the timeline.
On the timeline, then that's pretty significant right there. That's you know, we're out in the fields. On the story, you know, it's a situation. But on the timeline, you know, if we're hugged
it's
up.
It's a relationship.
Right? Yeah, it's a relationship. And you let the whole world know.
It's a way
to broadcast your love.
I love you.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Which is better, gentle parenting or authoritative parenting? Mm. Now, before I tell you what the experts say is best, has anyone in this room ever gotten a spanking?
Yeah, I grew up with multiple spankings. My father spanked and my grandfather spanked. One memorable spanking I remember having was one time my grandpa took me down to a Harlem Globetrotters basketball game.
Oh, Anthony, that must have been so fun.
Yeah, I remember we were at this arena and we had floor seats, which is really cool.
Jeez.
And I told them, hey, they're doing like basketball giveaways and stuff. I was like, Grandpa, I want a basketball. And we walked all the way up to the bathroom and we got to the bathroom. He's like, all right, use the bathroom. I said, I needed a basketball. I don't need to use the bathroom. He thought I needed to use the bathroom. And then he thought that since there was a miscommunication, that warranted a spanking right there. So
he's like, you made me walk up all those stairs.
Which, understood. And I guess the moral in that story is to speak clearly, I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
Talk loud when it's
don't
a grandpa,
your grandpa
situation.
That's what the moral of that story
I mean,
was.
I don't think that warranted a spanking. He should have been spanked. He's the one who misunderstood you. But obviously, you grew up in a household that believed in spankings, but I know you've said your mother never spanked you.
Yeah, no, my mom was big on if you start to express yourself through violence, that's the only way you're going to know how to act. And I was never hit when I was raised by my mother. No.
I feel like I am a combination of gentle and authoritative parent. That's what I've always been with all three of my daughters. Otto, you were just authoritative.
I thought I was a combination, but I've been informed that I'm just authoritative.
Yeah, I think I don't know if Dana's gentle. I don't know anything about Dana's. I've never seen a gentle side of Dana's parenting.
Oh, but I'm way gentle. Compared to my household. The way I grew up, to be honest, I was never spanked. My grandmother and Uncle Frankie, who raised me, never laid a hand on me, and I was always well behaved in their presence because it was just what was expected. They understood what I needed. They understood what I wanted, but they had very high expectations. They never laid a hand on me at all.
I feel like authoritative parenting goes beyond spanking or like
oh, absolutely,
physical,
it does.
Yeah.
Hitting. But there are consequences with authoritative parenting. That's the difference. There are really none in gentle parenting. It is a parent trying to understand why their child is acting in this way. More them coming to the middle versus the child. Automatic, you're definitely not a gentle parent.
No, I guess not after reading up on it. You know, I have high expectations and I want her to be independent. And I want her to be her own self. And the reason why I think I am that way is because I was raised that way. And I think I turned out all right. I think that it's okay to... I'm not here to be my daughter's friend. I'm here to be her parent. I'm here to make sure she's the best possible version of herself. And sometimes I might go a little overboard on that, but I have high expectations. I want her to be the best person she can be, and I think it's a reflection on me. So yes, I do want her to do well.
I know that you did not always behave appropriately when you were little.
Oh, yeah, I was a bad kid. And that's the reason why I got spankings and beatings and all kinds of stuff.
Which is not okay, by the way.
It wasn't okay, but I've never beat my daughter. I spanked her on the butt, but that was when she was really, really little. I think that there's a way to be authoritative without being physical.
There is. There's a combination parent like myself. There's gentle, authoritative. So I don't like hitting, but I do expect certain things from my kids. I expect certain things from them, and if they don't do them, I'm going to put my foot down. There will be consequences in my house.
Dana's more of a takeaway than to...
I don't think I've ever
seen you spank.
No, I'm not a spanker, and I have, though. All three of my children have had a spanking, but it's very rare. It has got to be something just outlandish to...
Yeah, because I can't even recall it.
I wasn't spanked. So I don't not believe in it, but I don't think that's the only way. And neither.
Dana's great at threatening, though.
I'll threaten you, but I just Anthony, what your mom said, if you just choose violence, then that's your only way of coping. And when you grow up and you go to work, you can't beat people up. You can't hit somebody. You can't spank them.
When you said that really hit me because I fought so much as a kid, and it's probably had to do with the fact that I was getting spanked.
Otto, you still have anger issues at this very moment in time.
The only reason I kind of lean with more gentle parenting style is because I think parents are also humans too. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it where a parent will have a bad day and then they come home and they take that bad day out on their kid. Mm. They're yelling at their kid obsessively or over the top for something that's like not even related to what the kid did, and it's out of pocket. And I've seen a lot more when it comes to the authoritative style of parenting that tends to happen more than a person who leans towards more gentle style parenting.
I'm 100% guilty of that. Mm. And having to go into each one of my child's rooms and apologize, because I will do that. I will say, this is not about you. This was me. I am so sorry that I'm behaving this way. And then I might even explain to them what's happening. If it's age appropriate.
Yeah.
And the experts say, it's up to you. There is no better way. It's your way.
I think each kid is unique.
It's what works for your family.
Gentle style parenting would never have worked with me.
You think you just ran right through those?
Oh, I was running over anybody that was gentle with me.
I disagree, because you got a lot of spankings, yet you still acted out. I think you needed a little more gentleness and love and hugs. That might have gone well for you, Automatic.
And that concludes today's therapy session.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Okay, so we're having a conversation here on the Dana Cortez Show about gentle versus authoritative parenting. And I did ask for anyone to call if they wanted to talk about it. Immediately, the phone started ringing. Good morning. What's your name?
Lori.
Okay, Lori, go ahead with your thoughts.
I'm the strict one. Between me and my husband, I'm the strict one. My husband's the softy.
Oh, okay. So do you believe in spankings? Have you ever had to spank? And does your hubby spank, or does he just let you do all the dirty work?
I do spank. My kids laugh at me when I spank them because I think I don't spank them all the time.
I used to laugh at my mom. They should be like, I'm going to tell your dad, and then I'd stop laughing.
And my husband won't do it. He's a, I will talk to them more type of person.
Right.
And I'm like, there's so much talking that you can do to, you know, do with a kid that they're still doing the same thing over and over again.
I really appreciate your honesty. And there's something about the man's voice. When my Theo Frankie, my Uncle Frankie who raised me, when he would speak to me, oh my gosh, I just, for some reason, it would stop me in my tracks, and whatever I was doing wrong, it was done. When dad talks, there was just something about it. I don't know what it is. What's your husband's name?
Hey, Sue.
Well, you tell him we said hello, and I want to thank you so much for listening and sharing your story. We appreciate you. Love you, girl.
No problem. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
Have you ever lost something valuable that just broke your heart? I bet it doesn't come close to $950 million.
That's crazy.
Let me explain this story. So a man named James Howell has spent the last 12 years searching a landfill for the hard drive of lost Bitcoin that he threw away by accident.
Wait, a landfill?
Yes.
So he's going to the dump to go look for an old hard drive. Talk about a needle in a haystack. But I guess for $950 million,
I'll
probably
be riding
do that
there too. It's
I'm on my way to the landfill right now.
Yes. If it's $950 million, DJ Automatic, you're doing just about everything you can. But he's out of
years,
money.
Though.
He's out of money. He's out of money. He's out of time. He said
he's gone broke?
He's
going
done.
Looking
yeah.
for it?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
So he's also
over.
Probably gone crazy.
I'm going crazy. It's not even my hard drive. I'm thinking to myself, what if somebody got it? What if somebody works and they don't even know what it is? Like a worker, you know, sometimes workers pick things up.
Yeah, no, it happens. And I wonder if it's like, you know, it might have like a little encryption code on it. I'm also wondering too, like there's a lot of people though who toss Bitcoin out when they didn't think it was worth anything.
I had a bar try to pay me in Bitcoin in like 2012, and I was like, no. Give me my money.
We could have been millionaires.
Looking back on it, I wish I would have taken the Bitcoin.
Now, here I am getting up to get on the radio.
Every day of my life's a landfill.
I was thinking, though, about the landfill. Do you remember it's a classic movie about Richie Valens? It's called La Bamba.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think his
like
brother.
Like, we don't know La Bamba.
Well, his brother Bob. Yeah. Yeah, his brother Bob works for the trash, for the city, and he throws the trash. And they go to Universal Studios. Yeah, Richie. They go to Universal Studios and they throw away all the cartoon stuff, and that's how Bob starts. Drawing.
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee you someone picked this up. They collect old
Nobody's
stuff.
Nobody's picking up a hard drive. I would go to the dump with my dad, that was like something I would throw at an old TV or throw it away.
But people collect old computers and things.
In the Bitcoin era, who knows? Now there's a treasure chest out there.
You probably have it and don't even know what it's worth. It's absolutely crazy. Bro. Now, we posted this question on Facebook. I asked for calls and the Facebook page went crazy. This first one from Joanne broke my heart. She said, I had placed a gold cross necklace my dad had made for me. When he melted it down, he melted his gold rings down. So she put it inside of her car cup holder. And then she says, I had my car washed at the car wash. They either took it or threw it in the trash. And I didn't even realize it till days later. Oh, my gosh.
That's tough.
And then Jessie DeShaw, she says her necklace, it was gold with three gold charms, a gift from her late grandmother. She said it was kind of bothering her. So she put it around her ankle, and it was just one of those things. She didn't notice it. It fell off, and she said it was just not expensive, but it had huge sentimental value, and, you know, that's it. It was gone. That's so bad. It hurts my heart.
Yeah, it happens, though. I hate when stuff, like, when you're just lost in the sauce, it can happen quick where you put it
yes,
right down and
of course,
you know, it's off
course.
Your fingers.
I lost my wedding ring on a football field.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I took it off to play catch and then forgot to pick it back up.
And then the second one you lost, DJ Automatic.
I threw that one into the crowd, though. I was DJing on stage and I just
at least
launched something into the crowd and went right with it.
At least that one, I hope somebody got it. At least I hope somebody caught it.
I looked for it for hours. Somebody got it.
I've never lost anything valuable like that, but I lost my my ID at the worst time. I was getting ready to go on a trip to cover a story for MTV, and I had misplaced my ID the day before my flight.
Oh, Anthony.
So it made the travel thing horrible, right? I get back in town, and my boy Austin's like, "Hey, bro, I saw your brother downtown at the bar last night.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He did. The next day, he's like, "Hey, bro, he brought me back my ID." I'm like, "Dude, oh, my God, you know the stress he caused."
You know what, though? That was worth it.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.